for a moment we can raise these hands kind of half-mast. Again, I've said it sometimes 300 times a year. He loves in corporate worship, okay, but he really likes. And we do corporate worship, we tune in on the words because we're all using the same ones, generally. And so, but he really loves it. I mean, why are you here? I don't mean in our service. Why are you on the planet? Why are you here? Why do you exist? It's an eternal creature. He calls his son and his daughter. Of course, when you get there, they won't be married and given in marriage because there's not male and female, but still. I wonder how he's going to work that out. Anyway. You're eternal. So you can't just say, well, is he waiting on us to worship and glorify and fellowship with him? I mean, that's what he's made out of, is time. And if he's wanting this from us, you know, in my confessions, when I found out I could walk the floor, say something over and over, 1,000 times, and I wanted to know more about it, and he began to teach me. He said it works something like this. If you read a paragraph once, I usually can't, unless I got a photographic memory, which nobody could have it. Adam didn't have it. You know, 600 years later, he'd say, what's the name of that bug? And he could tell him. He named it, you know. So, the love of God's doing something to me that I don't think has ever happened before. But in this worship, I was learning to do it. How come I can read a paragraph once and can't quote it back, but read it 50 or 100 times and I can quote it back? What is it by speaking the truth over and over? No, you're not a man that you can lie. You said I was healed and that settles it. That's what I am. I am healed. And I thank you, and I glorify you for it. I'm healed. I'm healed. Now, Norval taught it. Walk the floor, quote the word all night, thank him that it's done. And Brother Hagin more or less taught it along the lines of, hold fast to your confession, and the pain shoots through you. Say, no, I'm not receiving that. I've been healed. And then you talk to it then. But I found out something like memorization takes place in you. When you keep speaking it over and over again, pretty soon I can quote a whole chapter back word for word. What happens to my believer down on the inside? What part does that affect? We've got a system inside of us that'll transform us to, like the oil magnate's son that is going to go watch over his holdings in Great Britain and swears up and down he's not going to speak like a Brit. And as you've heard before, when I get back, they're looking at each other, and he's been there half a lifetime. And he's holding a little teacup with his little finger sticking up in the air, and they're holding a mug that's about a foot long. I like my coffee black. He finally speaks. Oh, Stallion, hold the fox. I love my tea. Said, you said you wasn't going to talk like that. Well, I'm not. Yes, you are. What happened? What happened Does faith work something like that? You can't keep hearing the truth. Does it? You can't keep ministering the truth at the mountain. I mean, eventually you won't get up and walk off. Come on. And then when I added, I called it private worship. This is what you can say, you know. That I love to approach Him now because I love Him. I don't need a need to approach Him with. Remember that song I sang? I can do it again. If you don't get excited, I'm going to sing. I just called to say I love you. I just called to say how much I care. I can't hit those high ones as good. No horrible trials. No relative denials. I got money in my pocket after the month. No smelly skunks. At the end of the month, I'm telling you, I walked away free. So I just called to say, I love you. Hallelujah. Well, see, when something says I've won and the word says no, it hasn't. He won. And you're the pawn that's being fought over. And I'm going to go over on his side and believe it. And the devil says I'll slap you clear out of the range of that king over there. So, well, I'm. Well, I found out adding worship to it. As you take a truth, as you hold that truth up to Him, it says you're healed. It says you're free. That says you're beginning to operate in power. Whatever. I'll hold a truth up to Him, and I found out then that I can fill that confession with worship. That I'll begin to magnify Him and glorify Him for loving me so much. He provided this healing, and I'm healed. I glorify You and praise You and exalt You and worship You. And I want You to know I love You. I love You and I love Your truth. I want to thank You for what You did for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You think you can go on like that without changing things? See, you can't. Are you being quiet? Because I am. Hallelujah, Jesus. God is truth. He don't have truth. He
is truth.
Say it.
He is truth.
He doesn't have love.
He is.
Oh, He's love. That's right. He doesn't have truth. He is. He doesn't have love. He is. If He's absolute truth and this is who He is, then what He said about your problem is what is, not what you're saying about it. So how can you amplify and glorify what He is and not walk away having won? How can you do that? when I first began to do this and when, I would wonder why it would take, you know, so long. You know, why? And the only reason it would take any time at all is because I was asking Him for something He already did. And it wasn't Him that was choosing to heal me. It was me choosing to receive what He's done. He's already made that choice when He paid for it. Surely He's borne my sickness, carried my pains. We esteem Him smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. But He's wounded for our transgressions, bruised for iniquity. The chastisement of your lack of peace was laid on Him. And with the stripes He took, you're the one that walked away healed. Why do you think He wouldn't open His mouth when He was being judged by Pilate? Because He was guilty by being in your shoes. He was wisdom, and He wouldn't open His mouth and defend Himself. Because He was dying in your place. So you could open your mouth and give the wisdom. He wouldn't. So He couldn't, you can. Whew. Hallelujah, Jesus. So God is what? He's truth. He's truth. And He's love. And He can't lie. And if He can't lie, which He can't, then I can line up with Him. And if I can believe what He said, and He can't lie, then we'll have what He said. Hallelujah. I'd just like to run all the disease out of Tulsa. Wouldn't that be fun? You know what it feels like when you go into a hospital and a kid is crying from pain? And they have to keep him. I thank God for any medicine that has stopped pain long enough for you to get your head back and start believing. Can you imagine what it feels like when some kid is screaming from pain, can't stand it? And you go do what you can do, which is lay your hands on him and pray and then watch it stop. Watch the look on the parents' faith and gratitude. Tell them who's done it. Let me see. We was shopping. I think I was getting some stuff, but we went through a line and la la la. Nah. And the line next to us is the little kid, like that big, with a patch on his eye. And so we started to walk away after we paid, and he says, I just felt led to pray for the kid with the patch on his eye. I didn't even see the kid. I was still in shock from paying, you know. See, you always let money get in the way. So Mark says, I just feel like the Lord said to go pray for that kid. Do you mind? I said, no. So we went over, and first I sized the people up. They could whip us easy. They looked tough. Anyway, he says, what's wrong with your child's eye? And he had a patch over it, and he's about this tall. He says, he's got a lazy eye. And he said, well, do you mind if we pray for him? And he goes, no, I'll ask him. We had to ask the kid. Look, can we pray for you? And he goes, He's looking at us like, well, yeah, whatever. So anyway, laid hands on him and prayed and then turned around and smiled at the Father and stuff and says, okay, that we've seen him do a lot of healing, so thank you. Then we left, and we expect to hear from them sometime in a crowded room somewhere. How many believes that God could take that route and then climb all the way up to salvation with it? You're right, he can. You know where it says, these signs shall follow the apostle, prophet. They'll lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. And they'll speak with new tongues. Didn't it say something like, these signs will follow them that... Oh, well, that leaves you out, doesn't it? They'll what? Lay hands on the sick. The sick will recover. Cast devils out. I like it in a short sentence like that. It says, and they'll speak with other tongues. I like him putting it in that. That messes everybody up except us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I was standing up in that booth. I couldn't help it. Especially with the revelation is beginning to unfold through basically assimilation about not being able to serve two masters. He said that God and Mammon, basically. That Mammon ran God a close second for, you know, being as powerful as a God. But then what I wanted to do was find out what love had to do with this. If it's truly the love of God increasing. You can tell by how many attitude adjustments you take towards people and the ought that you have, if you can hang on to it. You've not made it real far yet. How you think of the lost. But I've always understood love to be a force that overcome anything in me that wanted your destruction, anger, unforgiveness, hot. I'll get you. Nobody messes with me. I knew that that was wrong. So I knew that the love of God had to cover that, and that's where I was for several years. I'd try to make it a point to track down, and when a wave really came over me strong one time, I did. I got on airplanes and went places and tracked everybody down that was holding some odd against me, that really the only guilt in it I really had was to let them hold it because I wouldn't explain the situation. So maybe I was halfway guilty in one of them. Maybe. But I tracked them down and got it straight and got anything taken care of that I could. Because if it's something that's going to tamper with statements like you can say to the tree, the sycamore tree, or the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and doubt not in your heart, you'll have what you say with your mouth. Then he pauses, you know. And this no doubting with your heart is something that you basically have a little trouble turning on with your head and off. He said, doubt not in your heart. This is where praying in tongues really comes good. Did you know praying in tongues uses a part of your brain that's only used to crying and laughing? And these things you don't control. Usually something just overtakes you. You laugh or you love sometimes and you can't help it. You can't help it. And those kind of emotions come from that part of the brain. Dr. Peterson, he was studying that part of the brain, and then he came to tongues. He found out that that part of the brain is where tongues originate when you begin to pray. And I thought, boy, this is really something. I'm not supposed to doubt in my heart. And the heart's it's one step beyond my intellect. And the real important thing he added to that was, now if you got odd, even enough to stop the prayer, stop it and go on, make it right. If this is going to interfere with you doubting not in your heart, make it right. Then this will get some of you. You bring in your big fat offering. I'm sure we're rich after your offering this morning. We'll pay for the evangelization of the other side of Tulsa with this monstrous offering that you come up. God, you did it out of love and for people to be saved and not lost. So my goodness, it must have been a big part of your life. So you're bringing your offering up. You just get ready to lay it on the altar. You throw it in a bucket here. You remember? You know why preachers don't like to preach on that? If they stopped to examine their oughts, they wouldn't have any oughts in their offering. Would just soon you give and hate everybody? One time I was at a camp meeting with big people. I mean, they were known. I made a mistake preaching on Luke 6:30. Well, not 38 particularly, but given it shall be given unto you, heap down, pressed together, running over, men given in your bosom. But and I broke it down according to the whole chapter for what it really means. He was lining it up. He said, this is the house that you build your... This is the rock you build your house on. You dig deep and find foundational rocks. And that's what you build your house on. And the floods will come and beat it to death. And you think it's the end of everything, but your house will not go down. And he says, and you know what that rock is? Doing my sayings. Doing my sayings. So I went and said, I'll find out what they are. And I backed up in the chapter to them. Had to back up all the way to the 27th. And all of a sudden it says, I say unto you, aha, I have found those sayings. I say unto you, yeah, my house is going to be on a rock. Here we go. Do good to them who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully uses you. Got a few more, but give. Got to slap you on the cheek. Turn the other one, said. Come on, you can do better than that. And they come and take your goods away from you. Well, can I borrow $50? Or I'm gonna take that away from you just because I can. They come and take your goods. Well, I'll pay it back. And they don't. They come to take away your goods. He says, ask them not again. So hate not. Judge not. Condemn not. Forgive. And give. And it shall be given to you, heaped down, shaken together, running over, pressed together. Will men give back unto your bosom? Why? Because you didn't let money or hate or aught or anything else interfere with your testimony while you're holding the blood of Jesus up to a sinner, no matter what they do to you. He says, I'll heap that down. I'll shake it together until it settles back in. And I'll put some more in. Who's he after? Why does he talk all the time like sheep goes astray, loses a coin, sweeps till she finds it? Find the sheep, there's rejoicing. More over the one that got lost. And then to really drive it home, he uses the prodigal son. He was lost and came back. They were having a party and the guy that was serving God was home, out in the field then. Heard the party going on. Servants came and he wouldn't come back. His father came. He says, it's meet that we should kill the fatted calf and robes and shoes. It's your brother, he was lost. I saved him. But you never did anything like that for me. When have I ever disobeyed you? I did everything you've ever told me to do. You kill a fatted calf for him. He said, listen to me, son. All I've ever had has been yours the whole time. This is what he was saying. You just didn't know me well enough to know that. Well, I'm beginning to. You didn't know me well enough to know that all I've had, all I am, resources, everything that I am, it's always been yours. Well, I'll tell you right now, if I go whining and bawling, he's not meeting my need, not letting him in. No, thank you. I'm his son. I have all that he has for me. I'm getting to know that. You're not going to learn more and more about the love of God and be transformed to it without it affecting you some way. You give $1,000, you'll get $100,000 return. For you, it can be $100 if you want. You'll get 100-fold return. Some of you, if you give a nickel, you'll get 100% return on your nickel. The preachers found out real quick, it's easy to get money from you. All they have to do is appeal to your greed and then place it next to doing something for God. Why did I give all that money? Because I wanted to get back all that money. Go ahead, appeal to my greed. You'll get more out of me. When I begin to find out more and more about his love, kind that never fails, kind the elderly brother, he had to tell him, what I've had is yours. You think God wants me begging so I can get people saved, that he's the one that paid for them? He's the one that come in and after them. You think for some reason I'm going to come up short? And they're not going to have enough to do something that he would do? I don't think so. And what I'm finding out is love plays a whole lot bigger part than I thought. What he's beginning to show me now. If you find something in there that I'm not familiar with and start rattling over it, I get 40 years of preaching, I get surprised a little. Gary does it all the time. I feel like jumping out. I get up there so I won't jump up. I have to jump out. Isn't that good? When you said, this is how you prepare yourself now. You meditate until the mystery starts unfolding of those verses that was taught in the whole subject. Then he lets it start coming out. And that's what we get. Is somebody that's already extracted that truth, probably out of that chapter, out of that subject in that chapter at least. And he rolls it out. And boy, that 9:30 was good. Whew. He wasn't exhorting like I am, line after line. He'd go back and read his line. I get exhorting. And then what you get, a quote. Because I'm thinking I'll go back and show you, then something else comes. Paul had 66 books to look at, 27 of the New Testament. He wrote a bunch of them, he just didn't know that yet. He had them in his lap to make reference to while he was preaching on the New Covenant. What did these guys do that was writing the covenant? I wished I had Paul's reward. You're still whipping the devil on his teachings that he wrote down on a piece of paper. Where did he get it? The same place you are. He said you can't pray in tongues without causing the mysteries of who Christ is in you, through you, and to you, the hope of glory. You can't do it. That was one of Paul's main sources. And what fueled it was his incredible knowledge of the Old Testament. See, when he wrote about love, I'm thinking, boy, what a this tough guy, he gets beat up. He didn't go through anything that I go through. Yeah, he only got 5 lashes, 5 different times, 39 lashes. And well, just one of them could kill you. 5 times he gets 39 lashes. If that isn't enough, they put his feet in stocks and 3 times and said, let's see you walk to the next town now, and broke all the bones in his feet. He beat him with rods. Well, gee, you know, that might not be enough. Well, let's stone him and leave him for dead. They stoned him, left him for dead, and he got up. He walked off. He said, you guys are glorying. You go to the third heaven every other day. I've been there and I've heard unspeakable things. I can't even tell you. If I'm going to glory, it's going to be in the attention I attracted. There's been assigned to me a messenger straight from Satan himself, straight from hell, some general of some kind that reported right back to Satan and went in to destroy him. And you want to know why? Because of the abundance of his revelations. They did everything they could to him. They beat him. They done everything. And he says, you know what I found out about his grace? You switch your dependency off of the flesh onto the Spirit. When you glorify God and worship him and lift him up in the middle of what appears to be hell. Can you imagine after he was striped and left laying there or tied? You hear somebody praying and you walk up there and he's worshiping God, getting him in glory, praising him and thanking him. He told him 3 times, my grace is sufficient. And nobody terminated Paul before he was ready. When they took him to the chopping block, he says, I fought a good fight. I've ran a good race. I'm the one ready to be offered. You're not taking my life. I'm the one offering it. Well, when some tough renegade like Paul, you know, Paul, and I'm thinking he's teaching on the love that I'm starting. I mean, John did a good job. And Paul, he did too. And he's teaching away in Corinthians, talking about desire earnestly, covet the best gifts. You know, I can think of the best ones, the miracle working gifts and everything. Get up! Ah, ha, ha, ha. Nobody has a ministry like mine. Shut up. He said, desire earnestly the best gifts. And I'll show you a more excellent way. And it goes down this teaching. He says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, profits me nothing. Though I had all faith I could move mountains, profits me nothing. He keeps going down the list. You're going to show me a more excellent way to go after the gifts and the callings and the power with a tenacity that won't quit? You want to show me a more excellent way? Yes, I can. Go after the love of God with the same tenacity. Let Him change you. Then Paul caps this thing up. He says, love cast 3/4 of your fear. Okay, 9/10. 9/10 point 8. 9/10 point 9. 9.5. Point 8. Point 9.5. Can I just return a little fleck of fear? Just a little instant, accidentally. A speck on our drug. Dust. What could I do if I had no fear? I'm talking not the genuine, not a moment when you thought you could do it. I'm talking about none. What would hit that problem out there? What would hit that city? A love with no fear? What would be the outcome? Somebody, how'd he finish that part? Love. Perfect love. Cast out all fear. Therefore, the conclusion is it never, 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 never fails. Never. What he's showing me is kind of basically how the devil used money to bring so many preachers to a standstill and are growing spiritually. And I'm not talking about because of the lack of the money. I'm talking to about what money became to them. But when I saw this love go on out there and encompass the wealth a person would need, I saw it happen in the Spirit. I mean, this thing was unlimited. He wants them saved more than I do. And my God shall supply all you need according to His riches and glory. I love the standard He uses. I saw it. I was thrown behind the door. I got to stay in it, as I've got to this place before, but not quite as extensive. I got to that place, but I was only in it, I believe it was less than a minute. To be truthful, I don't know if I could have handled any more than that at this point, but I got through it enough to know what it is. Now, this letter you're going to get that I'm working on now, it's covering this subject pretty thorough. Right here when I found out in history what the devil's done to stop people that's approached the genuine love of God and got to a certain place in it where the devil had to judge and say, if we have to bring all our troops in, you know what happens if they get past us. From then on, after touching that place, I was threatened with death. I don't know how many times. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. Just on and on. And I truly believe this part was God. He began to show me. He says, look, in history, when people would come to a place to where that kind of love was possible in their ministries and things, then always the devil would show up with something really, really bad to kind of thwart and destroy it all, because he knows where it can go. So that one moment that I was in that, I can still tell you what it felt like, and it's been a while now. I used to have fun playing with the devil. It was funny. My turn come and they turned me over, and I always walk out here like this. But the pulpit was about this high. You had to jump off of the stage. I didn't mind. But while I was beginning to exhort, somebody walks up behind me and leans against the platform, and I turn around and look at him, and they're gone. They're interpreted into Russian, you know. And so all of a sudden the crowd went, whoa! And even in Russian that means look out. I picked it up. I'm pretty proud of myself learning Russian. Suspenders, here I come. The crowd goes, whoo! In any language, that means, look out. I was proud of myself for interpreting. I turned around to see this guy running up to him. He was running for me at a run. And then it looked like a big hand come down and slapped him. I didn't see the hand. He went. Then he slides up to me like I'm first base. stands up, and I told him who did it, and he was free, and he lifted his hands up and got filled with the Holy Ghost. Instead of terminating me, he got saved. That happened again, only this time the people went down from the stage and this guy stayed up there, so my back was to him, and then he walks up behind me. And all of a sudden I hear this perfect voice in English. I'm going to kill you. And I'm going, oh God, this is getting old. I'm going to kill you. And I turned around and looked at him. And I went, oh no. Does this guy speak English? He said, no. I'm going, oh. I turned around and faced him. He said, I'm going to kill you. I don't think he understood me. But I got real close to him about this far. My eyeballs almost rubbed his eyeballs. I got real close and I said, you come out of him, you devil. You come out of him now. And I turned my back. I just kept going. And furthermore, on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, he backs up a few feet like this. And he throws his hands up in the air and gets filled with the Holy Spirit. He got set free. Whew. Made me happy. One time I preached in French. That was in Canada, in the French-speaking section. I just thought I was going to give an interpretation to a tongue. And I said it all in French. I had to go find out what I said. I was the only one left out. Back to the love. It looked like one of the last champions that love brought down and whipped really bad was the provision. And this time it wasn't hurting the people as the source. Well, it was correct giving and stuff. If there was any giving in it, there was correct. But this love, it just went on in and encased that mammon, and somehow began to supply the ministry without hurting anybody. I was on that journey to the money thing first few years after I got here. I got real good at it. You know how I twisted up where your heart is? That's where your treasure will be. You know how bad I twisted that up? I got an elderly lady on a pension to give $5,000. She wanted it back the next day. That's not me anymore. Believe me. Do you want to know how I twisted that? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. I said, okay, what did he say about your prayers for your lost loved ones and things? What did he say? If you doubt not in your heart, you'll have what you say. Where is your heart? Where is it? Is it with you? Or is it there? But I can tell you this much, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. You find out. Give $5,000 and just watch him move. Because now your heart will be where your treasure is with him. You watch him move. Boy, did I milk the old cow for that day. I had some seasoned veteran preachers. I won't name them because you know some of them. And one of them says to his preaching wife, he'll never get my $1,000. Later, I was told he's the first one in the line. We had a dinner. I walked away with close to $100,000 in cash. Our checks made out direct. Did you stop? You can't keep praying in tongues. One of the two has to stop. you or you quit praying. It won't leave you alone. I didn't even know I was capable of that. So are we going to hurt you? No. When we found out tithing wasn't our dispensation, we only have the law of the new nature now. That's what we walk by. We don't have to be told, thou shalt not kill. We know. We know. We have a nature that's not made of that anymore. We know. So if you have to be told, you have to be told. Right? We have to take your 10%. Guaranteeing you a curse like you were spiritually dead or something. I had to take your 10% and promise you a lot of blessings. Do you know what a decision it was to do away with the tithe here? When he found out he's not holding you under no law except the law of the Spirit. What do you want to do? What's you? One time when we gathered together, said, look what the offerings have done. Often they go down about from the 100% they were given to about 80%. Oh no, 30%. About 30% of what was. And do you know how popular we are with everybody in town that have big master churches that may close down if you took their tithe away? Well, boy, our giving dropped down about 60 or 70% just overnight. When Tim said something about it to me, and I said, Tim, I'm just adjusting to where they're really walking. And if the problem is, God's giving back, not because you were full of fear not to give. My God, my car will get wrecked if I don't give my tithe. You think he likes you giving because you're running because of that kind of fear? Like anything else. It's where you are and what you are. Wherever you are in him, that's fine with me. Because I stand before him, it won't be because he didn't supply the supply. I'll never hold up with that in court. He did, he is, and he has. But he's not going to hurt you. The best thing you could do is walk with it. That's what's in your heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, I saw that wealth and I saw the love of God come and encompass it. Something began to happen and I thought to myself, my God, if you teach me how love operates in that area, I don't think there's a limit to anything. Hallelujah, Jesus. I don't think there's a limit. And do you know what I saw in the next revival? I saw real powerful front room operation. That's the revival of media. Media. With the power of God coming into the people's bedrooms who are watching. And why wouldn't he do that? He does that to a degree anyway. You hear that now and then, they got prayed for over the air or something, and here they go. But hey, how about them taking wheelchairs and pushing them into a building and playing the program? And they all jump up. And not only that, but encouragement and seasons are where they'll learn to enter into this and get it and then walk in it themselves and everything else like that. Did you see something like that? Yes, I did. What a time, media. What a time. You know what you'd have done if you told Columbus? Hey, Columbus. Yeah. There's coming a day, and you'll pick a little thing up, this, and it'll have little round buttons on it, and you push it like that, and you can talk to somebody in Russia. What are you on? How does that sound? Somebody standing there in Russia talking to you here? I mean, this thing is in their hand, and you got one in your hand, and they're exactly what they're saying, you're hearing. Do you know how impossible that was in their day? I remember them saying there'll be a day that you can have a telephone and it'll be the size of your watch, and you can go, hello, hello. Oh, they could do that now. I was a kid, and I says, oh, yeah, right. Telephone booth fell on you. Then they were so happy when they laid the cable across the ocean where they could Morse code, eventually a voice. It was a big deal laying that cable, but then it was in a direct with another country. Are we going to let media just slip by? Where everybody in the whole world almost can hear you from one place. What have you got to say? Well, how much would you mess them up? Not any more than we would Tulsa. That's why Jesus is what? I saw the fire here first. And then these fireballs would fly over and land in a dark region. And after a while, it was burning like here. I saw that a long time ago. I just know now the role that love obviously is playing, playing. Did I get it? Okay. And it's going to take me a while on this one. But I'm going to find out what it'll do. Thank God for praying in tongues.
You're welcome.
Oh, that's one of the few times we thanked him right. Maybe he wasn't in giving you that Starbucks when you go, oh, thanks God for this Starbucks. I don't remember giving that to you. They can't say that over the other. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God. You know how my father is. This is how my father is. He loves me. He looked at me and said, how are we going to ensure that he can succeed? After all, there's a maniac loose on the planet and stuff. How can we make sure? He says, I know. You know, Godhead's talking. I know. I know what we can do. We've gave them a new nature. So, but they don't know nothing, so why don't Holy Spirit, you go do it, and they're praying for them. Oh, okay. Sure. And don't let them in on it. Just you do it for them. You know, they walk off anyway. They don't know nothing. So you go do their praying for them. And then we will answer the prayer. We will give them the understanding of the mystery they prayed. And then we'll answer it and go do it. So God got somebody that would pray and lose him to go do it. All he needed them to do was say it and pray it. I mean, it's getting harder to fail. I'm going to have to practice failure. Can you imagine God doing your praying for you and then answering it?
Well, I wanted a few things in there myself.
You let him answer many prayers in tongues about you and your change, you'll probably get it.
I want a Corvette.
Who don't? All the way through those chapters from prodigal and the parables. Then the man that was the unjust steward, he lied and stuff and canceled people's debt to ensure a job and a place to stay after he was turned loose. And Jesus called him very wise for doing it. He said, children of this world are wiser than the children of light. But I say unto you, that can be corrected. But I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting habitation. Well, he canceled their debt against the rich man. What the dollar's really for is to cancel their debt against God, which is the sin question. Make friends to yourself by using the power that's in money, the unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, when your life's over here, every person you got born again using the power in the mighty dollar is going to welcome you home. That's what this stupid money's for. It carries power in the natural realm. I can wave my hand. If they fool with me, I'll buy the 3 trucks. And load a ship up and bring it overseas. And I mean, just a wave of the hand. What? I can get 10,000 laborers here. And then collect all the progress I made from them and the money and send it over, and it'll hire 10,000 laborers over in another country to do something. That's power to do what I want. In the natural, that's real powerful. The devil knew that. So it wasn't hard to get people to follow it. Well, I know what it's for. A woman lost the coin. They lost the sheep. The rejoicing was in the ones that were found. I'm already here. So are you. We're already in. Every person that we get using the power that's in money, God, they're going to thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on. If I was going haywire and walking after the flesh, it'd be one thing. But if it really is the love of God, if it really is what's eradicating the fear, if it really is erasing all failure, it never fails, then that must be what we're looking for.